LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Ukraine taking responsibility for the killing of a top Russian general. Lieutenant General Igor Krylov was killed by a bomb in Moscow, that explosive strapped to a scooter. ABC's Ian Pannell with more.
Sources telling ABC News that Ukraine's security services, the SBU, was behind the attack, saying he was a war criminal, calling him an entirely legitimate target. They found him guilty, though, of giving orders using chemical weapons against Ukrainian troops, warning others that retribution for war crimes is inevitable.
In Madison, Wisconsin, police still searching for a motive after a female teen student killed a teacher and fellow classmate at Abundant Life Christian School yesterday, wounding six others. Luigi Mangione, the suspected gunman in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO, expected to waive extradition at a court hearing this Thursday in Pennsylvania. House Intel Committee members getting a classified briefing today about recent drone sightings in the Northeast. The federal government has said there's no risk to the public. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Madison community is reeling from Monday's school shooting at Abundant Life Christian School. According to Madison police officials, eight people were shot at the Eastside School on Monday just before 11 a.m. As of Tuesday morning, a teenage student and teacher have been killed, two others were in critical condition in the hospital, and four others suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Authorities identified the shooter as 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow, a student at the school, and say she died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has received over $10 million in federal grant money to improve the recruitment and retention of special education teachers. According to a press release, the funding will be spread out over 5 years to address persistent special education staffing shortages. The DPI found nearly half of special education teachers in Wisconsin have either left the state or the profession entirely after 6 years. The funding will be used for specialized training and the creation of residency programs. Burnett County has officially opened the Frozen Ground ATV trails in the area. According to Burnett County Forest and Parks officials, the Frozen Ground ATV trails were opened on Monday and are marked with green blazers on the county's trail map. Officials are reminding residents that ATVs and UTVs must be registered or licensed, and riders should check which roads the vehicles can be used on before leaving. They're also reminding riders that most of the trails are on private property with easements, so no off-trail use is allowed. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for input from the community on the Chippewa Flowage Joint Agency Management Plan. According to a press release, the involved agencies are asking community members to share how they use the flowage and for input on what updates they would like to see added to the plan. The Chippewa Flowage is an over 15,000-acre impoundment in Sawyer County with about 200 undeveloped islands in it. Public comments can be submitted to the Department of Natural Resources online. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the Thunder in Las Vegas for the NBA Cup Championship. Doc Rivers asked about the Thunder, one of the youngest teams in the league, featuring Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, against the Bucks, now one of the oldest.
They're good. I enjoy watching them play. Shai's one of my favorite players. I actually got to coach him in his rookie year. But and I joke about it. And all these young teams are flying around, and we're going to come in with our little canes and wheelchairs and play them.
College hoops, the Badgers' next game coming up Sunday when they host Detroit Mercy. Wisconsin dropped out of the AP top 25 rankings after losing three straight last week, but beat Butler over the weekend.
Much happier locker room than we've had the last three games, and I think these guys really have earned it. And obviously, when you play really good teams, you're going to have adversity, and how you respond to that and how you use those experiences to grow, I think, tells us a lot about the character of the young men in our locker room, and I couldn't be happier for them.
That's Badgers head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures staying below freezing in the upper 20s. We do have a small shot of light snow pushing in this evening. With accumulations looking like less than half an inch, it'll be done by early tomorrow morning, leaving us with mostly cloudy skies and temperatures crashing from the teens. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 27.
Oh, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho, ho, ho!
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Dr. Tim Slecker. Hey, that's me filling in for Dom. Join me and some educated educators for a special episode on what's happening and what needs to happen in our classrooms.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 now, past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. Normally begin the show with "it's a great day to be a Wisconsinite." I would say today is a tough day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome in, everybody. Todd Albaugh along with you, back, made it back in here into the worldwide headquarters of Civic Media, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square in Madison. Many thanks to the great folks at Delta for getting me and all the equipment, Zommers. You'll be happy to know all of our remote equipment made it back to Madison as well here. So left Seattle around 12:30 in the morning local time and got into Madison here about an hour ago. So between the yelling of the Packer game over the weekend and kind of flying overnight, I don't know whether it is the air in the plane or whatever, my voice is a little gone. But we will, well, I apologize in advance to our listeners for that.
It's not too bad, though.
All right.
And, you know, thanks to those wonderful Pelican cases that you got as far as the gear getting home safe.
Right, exactly. And a shout out to all, not just Delta, but all of the great airlines and their crew, all those people working late nights, early mornings, through the night, who are down there on the cold tarmacs and the snow and the slush and making sure that things get to where they need to be. They are truly heroes, especially this time of year when there's a lot of transportation going on. Due to the holidays. Glad to have you along with us. Trigvi Olsen, our wonderful friend and who planned on being a guest host today, is joining us live from our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., like myself, a former Republican and now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trigvi, thanks so much for being here. I got in a little earlier than planned, so I thought, well, I'll pop on here. And in light of yesterday's tragedy here in Madison, We talked a little bit this morning. We said, you know what, why don't we just kind of do this together? And welcome, Trigvi. I wish it were under better circumstances. But on days like this, no better person to have than somebody I trust and a friend like you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Todd.
Yeah.
And you're doing, I tell you, listeners should appreciate, Todd got off a red eye. He got about 4 hours of sleep. And he's like, I think we should both do it today. And
yeah.
I was glad. Because day like today, it's good to have people around you.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to try to turn a page and talk a little bit about the lighter things in hour number two and talk about our time out in Seattle and the great Packer win over the weekend. But I want to begin off, and of course, coming up in hour two, we have our grown-up gift list text to win contest. And I believe today we are giving away a $100 bill in hour number two. So be listening for that. We'll give you the word of the hour next hour and a what's worse as well.
But Trigvy, I want to start with the news of the day. It broke while we were on the air yesterday and ended up anchoring with Zomers, what, about 45 minutes, a special broadcast yesterday, Aaron, and basically consumed the day yesterday on the show, as it should. Many thanks to you, Aaron, and also to Corey Hartman and Jamie Martinson and all of our great folks here who helped us get that special broadcast on the air. I'm just going to read a quick overview of where we're at right now. This is from the Associated Press, Scott Bauer. And from his story today, investigators today are focused on trying to determine a motive in a Wisconsin school shooting that left a teacher and a student dead and two other children in critical condition. Sean Barnes, the police chief in Madison, said investigators were aware of a quote-unquote manifesto, if you want to call it that, or some type of letter posted by someone who might have known the shooter, 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow. Quote, we haven't been able to locate the person yet, but that's something that we're going to work on today. Barnes told CNN, we'll also be looking into Rupnow's effects, if she had a computer or cell phone, to see if there's any transmission between her and someone else that will give us some idea of what type of planning went on, unquote. Police responding to the shooting yesterday at Abundant Life Christian School found Rupnow with a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The shooter died on the way to the hospital. Police said the shooting occurred in a study hall. Besides the deaths, six people were wounded, including two students who remain in critical condition. Abundant Life is a non-denominational Christian school, pre-kindergarten through high school, with approximately 420 students in Madison, the state capital, of course. Barbara Weirs, the school's director of elementary and school relations, said that when they practice safety routines, leaders always announce that it's a drill. That did not happen yesterday. It was the last week before Christmas break. Trivia, a couple other notes here I just want to get to because I thought this was important. And again, talking about team effort here at Civic Media, our very own Terry Barr shared this with me yesterday. I found it enormously helpful and insightful that approximately 200 families from some 56 different churches in the greater Dane County area, including Metropolitan Madison and its surrounding communities, are represented in the student body. So to Scott Bauer's reporting and to add on this great reporting by our very own Terry Barr, this is not just one church or one denomination. There are a lot of people in Madison who aren't maybe even necessarily people of faith, but because this school has a good reputation academically and athletically, a lot of people send their kids there. So this is why this is, you know, obviously the big story is the loss of life here and the shooting, but this affects the greater community of Madison because so many different people were involved in this. And I think that's why it's really shaken the city of Madison and the surrounding area, is because the ripple effects go so far.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And then when these things happen, right, in a place like Madison, Wisconsin, or you know, most of the communities where they happen, people don't see their communities in the light of where something like this can happen, but they can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that, you know, there's a lot of emotion around what happened. I also know that there are a lot of people in the community and individuals who are hurting right now. When any of these kinds of things happen, there are people hurting, whether it's, you know, the two boys who were left orphan with the CEO of United Health, or the parents of this girl who've lost their child and are dealing with the ramifications of what she apparently did, and the people who, innocent victims, the teacher, the other kids who are in the hospital, and the students who observed it. And I know, you know, personally, under different circumstances, what it's like to lose a child. And I can't tell you, every time one of these things happens, I think about that, because I will tell you, I can't imagine that there's anything more painful for someone to go through. And it's a hurt that is there for the rest of your life, regardless of moving on.
Yeah.
So, and always, you know,
go ahead. I was going to say, I always appreciate your vulnerability and sharing that with you, that you and your wife lost a child some years ago. And it's something that I would not wish upon anyone. And it's just an unspeakable thing. I could never understand it. It's one of those things, unless you've gone through it, you could never understand it fully.
No, and I can tell you, having gone through it, and I think, you know, I heard President Biden once speak about losing his kids, his younger kids who were killed in the car accident. You know, eventually you get to a place after a lot of years of tears where you can look back and smile, and maybe there is no why to it. There's only what you can take and what we can take from what happened and learn lessons from it. But yeah, I mean, it's a tragedy. It really, really is.
Yeah. I guess that's where we're going to dedicate kind of this full hour to talking about this. I know other people on the network have as well, as is appropriate. And what I love about this, Trivi, having you here today, is you bring the unique perspective, the unfortunate and tragic perspective of having lost a child. You have that. I also want to spend some time today asking the question, when is the right time to have a discussion about this? I was talking to somebody I really respect this morning, kind of thinking through this. You and I talked earlier. And this individual said, you know, they're very frustrated, just said, you know, when is the right... So, okay, if we need to let people grieve, which of course is important, then, you know, a couple, 3 days, you know, are we not going to talk about it then? And it's happening today here, but tomorrow or the next day, unfortunately, it might happen in Texas or wherever. So when is the right time? I think that's an important discussion to have in how we actually make progress, because Zomers will remember, a longtime listeners will remember, Zomers, maybe you know better than I, you have a younger mind. It was when we were in the old building yet on Old University Avenue. So it had to be at least over a year and a half ago or a year ago. And I came in one day and the top five stories on CNN were shootings. And I think three of those were school shootings.
Yeah.
And I just said,
gun violence database. And it was just
right
crazy.
And I said, this is enough. And I spent, an hour, 90 minutes just talking about that.
Yeah.
And I made it very clear to our listeners, as a former Republican, as a gun owner, as a hunter, I believe in reasonable gun reform. I believe in red flag laws. I believe in waiting periods. I don't think there's any hunter worth their salt that has to go out and buy a gun for a hunting trip this afternoon. I believe that if you are convicted of domestic assault, or if you have pending charges, or if you have a mental health issue, you should not have guns. That they should be held until you reach a time when you're able to have them or not have them. I believe that no deer hunter that I know needs an AR-15 or to hunt a deer. I believe in automatic assault weapons bans. I also think that people should have the ability, like I do, to have a 12-gauge shotgun or a 30-06 to either hunt pheasant, turkeys, or deer. But I believe in reasonable gun reform laws. And we have to have a point in this country where we can sit down and say, okay, let's talk about what makes sense here. And so I always want to get that on the record, because I think it's just important that our listeners that might not have listened to the show before understand where I'm coming from on this. But Trivi, I want you to help us talk through a little bit. You've worked on the Hill in Washington, D.C. You've worked for very powerful people like Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul and John McCain. I want to talk about how we get to meaningful gun reform laws here and the ramifications of this. And we'll also take your phone calls at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. My goal this hour is to have a thoughtful discussion on this topic. We'll come back and take your calls. Trivi Olson on a Tuesday, December 17th, 2024, in the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Gerrymandering, the manipulation of voting district boundaries to engineer an election outcome which benefits a particular party, had a significant impact on control of the new Congress. A new report by the Brennan Center for Justice found over 4 of 5 congressional districts were won by a margin of over 10%, including 90% of the GOP House majority. Within that number, 132 GOP winners were in districts with winning margins of 25% or more, and 112 by a Democrat. In comparison, only 37 districts nationwide were decided by 5% or less, and only 19 districts were competitive enough to flip. The Brennan Center points to North Carolina as a state which, after a more liberal Supreme Court was flipped conservative in 2022, replaced the previous court's 7-7 competitive maps with the legislature's gerrymandered version, resulting in a 10-4 GOP congressional seat advantage. The most effective solution to gerrymandering at the moment is citizen-led independent redistricting, which has been successful in producing fairer and more competitive maps in California, Michigan, Utah, and a handful of other states. Brennan found that independent commissions, citizen-led or otherwise, drew only 82 congressional districts this cycle, but those districts were 3 times more competitive. We have the Brennan Center's report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK, Amory Community Center's Christmas Day Dinner is coming. On Christmas Day, the community center located on Harriman Avenue South, and the dinner will be from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Suggested donation of $10 for adults and $5 for children. Christmas Day, 11 to 2 at the Amory Community Center. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Well, most days we are. Today, not so much. We'll have a little bit more fun. Hour number two, 21 past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, December 17th. Zomer's on the board. Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joins us. So kind to do so on a Tuesday from our nation's capital. Discussing this hour, the tragedy in Madison yesterday. Here at Abundant Life Christian School, shooting that left one teacher, and reports I've seen so far that this was a substitute teacher. Not that it, I come from an entire family of educators. And every time one of these things happens, I cannot help but think about my sister and my brother-in-law, that this could have been them. And I don't know why. But the fact that it was a reportedly a substitute teacher, here's somebody just trying to help out. Maybe it's a retired teacher. Maybe it's somebody trying to pick up a spare job, and they go in and they never come home. And the gunman, who happened to be a 15-year-old girl, according to the police, died of suicide. Two others are in critical condition. We may have more details in the afternoon. Our news department will be, there are reports that we may have an update from Madison Police. We'll bring you updates via civic media throughout the afternoon, so be listening for that. Trigvi, I want to let you talk here in a minute, but I want to point out something to our listeners. And again, I was at the anchor desk yesterday. We were in Seattle, but myself, Corey Hartman, was on the scene. And one of the great privileges of having this job and being behind this microphone is that people trust you to convey honest, accurate information. And I think it's really important that we stick to the facts of what we know, because this is, we're just over 24 hours from this tragedy happening. And I don't think that we know yet, you know, whatever legislation X, bill Y, we don't know yet whether any legislation would have prevented what happened yesterday. I mean, we hear, you know, mental health, all right, which is a real thing. And it's beyond just being depressed and anxiety. And then you hear, well, it's parenting. Well, you could have the best parents in the world, but if you have a child that has a psychological conditions such as schizophrenia or bipolar or a number of other things, it can change, chemically change that individual's brain beyond anything their parents raised them. We don't know whether that gun was, where that gun came from. There are so many things we don't know yet. So while, yes, I certainly support reasonable gun reform, I think it's too soon to start saying, well, if this had happened legislatively, it would have prevented that. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess a few thoughts, Todd. I mean, the first thing is when these kinds of things happen, there is the act, right? And there's anger about it happening, as there should be. It's a human, it's a natural human response to be angry about the situation, that these kinds of situations are happening. And that anger can happen on several levels. I think one thing, though, you know, taking a deep breath and also understanding that you know, there's a lot of parents who hugged their kids last night, not just in Madison, Wisconsin, but all around the country, and were maybe a little more appreciative last night than they were in the morning when their kids went off to school and they were busy, that their kids were home safely. And we can be angry about the fact that we have to live in a world where that's the reality, but we can also recognize that you know, it's not that there's, that there is love. There's both good and bad in the world, and mm-hmm. good things happen and bad things happen. And a lot of times what happens with these kinds of events and when tragedies like this happen is we give into our anger rather than embracing the reality that we can fix things and we can make things better in big ways and small. And that starts at an individual level. You know, I think about where people were on 9/11, which was an act of extraordinary hate. And yet where I was sitting, you know, that night, I ended up going to an embassy in Vilnius, Lithuania, and there were thousands of people there saying, "We're with you." There were the people taking in people who landed in Nova Scotia into their houses who didn't have a lot. We need to take, I think, a deep breath, and we need to find ways to have trust and honesty with each other. You know, you talked about ARs, right? The reality is if a kid goes out and turns 18 and buys two ARs and 6,000 rounds, there are people, you know, somebody from the government needs to show up. We need to be in a society where somebody from the government could show up who's trusted and say, "Hey, you're doing all right. Are you going to the range?" And check in with the people at the range. Mm-hmm. Some of this is a broader breakdown of trust, because we have to solve this both individually and together. And we do that not by giving into the anger. If we give into the anger, then everybody just starts pointing fingers at each other. And
for the record,
we get nowhere.
And for the record, just, I mean, you could disagree with me, but I personally just don't. I get it. People like to go out and shoot at the range. I just don't support citizens owning semi-automatic weapons like an AR-15. That's me. But
I get it. You know, when my dad passed away, he had one, and you know, I was getting the guns, and I was like, I don't have any need for this. I'm going to sell it.
Yeah.
But I just think at the end of the day, there's an element of trust, and there's just this erosion of trust in each other.
Yeah.
That we have to get to.
Let's go quickly to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Matt, we're up against the clock, about a minute, a little over a minute left. Okay, ask the question, and then we'll get Trigvy's answer on the other side. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to say, I think we're a pretty sick country. Sandy Hook, the fact that nothing changed after that is just awful. And I just want to know, like, what is wrong with us? We've been so numb to violence now, and we just reelected a man that openly encourages violence and people cheer for it. I've given up hope. I have hope in humanity, but this country is really, really nuts. Give me some hope, guys.
Thanks, Matt. Like Trigvy said, number one, it's person by person. So the fact that you're, you know, we all have to have hope in one another, Trigvy.
We all have to have hope in one another, and I'll touch on that on the other side.
There you go. There's a teaser for you. Stay tuned. Your phone calls as well, 855-752-4842. It's the Todd Allball Show. on a Tuesday, December 17th, on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
After a strong year in the livestock market, the trading has seemed to hit a wall. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to explain why we are seeing the sudden decrease in livestock trading.
This one purely is a money flow situation in my mind, at least at this time frame. You know, you're looking at a live cattle managed money or hedge fund position that was the largest in 5.5 years on feeder cattle. They typically don't go long feeders. They actually went long on the feeder side. And then lean hogs was a record long position, you know, by nearly 40,000 contracts compared to history. If you combine the three, live cattle, feeder cattle, lean hogs, it was basically three times the 5-year average in terms of length at this time window.
As Isaac Newton once said, what goes up must come down. And John Heinberg says that is exactly what has happened. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
At Golden Harvest, we know that to thrive in the wild north, you have to be built for it. Introducing the Hawk, the Grizzly, and the Wolf. Three corn hybrids bred for powerful performance. Like apex predators, Wild North hybrids are strong and fierce, ready to face the toughest agronomic threats and stand tall all season long. Enter the wild. Visit hybridsbuiltforthenorth.com.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those midday markets from Chicago. The grain markets look to be taking a hit today as cash crop corn is down 3.25 at 4.41¾, and new crop corn is down 3¾ at 4.36½. January soybeans are down 11¼ at 9.70¾, and November soybeans are down 15¼ at 9.83½. March wheat is down 5½ at 5.44½, and July wheat is down 5¾ at 5.61¾. Class 3 milk contracts are showing some strength today, though, as January contracts are up 10 cents at 20.40 weight, and February contracts are up 8 cents at 20.05 weight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures staying below freezing in the upper 20s. We do have a small shot of light snow pushing in this evening. With accumulations looking like less than half an inch, it'll be done by early tomorrow morning, leaving us with mostly cloudy skies and temperatures crashing from the teens. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 27.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Robot vacuums still frighten me, but you could win one as part of the Grown Up Gift List Text to Win contest. Shane Matinair is here. Where are you on robot vacuums?
Probably no. Yeah. My husband and I bought a Shark. If I could love a little appliance, I love my Shark vacuum.
When something actually sucks the way that you want it to, that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Well, look at the time here.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram. Ingram.
You might be affected by lead exposure and not even know it. On the next show, we'll talk about how to protect yourself with the campaign for lead-free water and Flack.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
There's no combination of words I could put on the back of a postcard. No song that I could sing, but I can try for your heart. Our dreams, and they are made out of real things, like a shoebox of photographs with sepia tone loving.
Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. Zomers on the board. Mr. Trigvi Olson joining us for this at least an hour and a half or so from Washington, D.C., former Republican like myself, Wisconsinite like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, spending this hour talking about the school shooting in Madison yesterday at Abundant Life Christian School that has left the shooter dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And at least a teacher also has died due to his shooting, and two other children in critical condition. And I know a lot of these, and I think that'll be questions for the Madison Police Department, because as we were anchoring this on the air yesterday, the numbers changed from 3 to 5, then 3, now down to 2 in terms of dead. I mean, one person is one too many. These are fluid situations, and I get that, but I think that'll be a question for law enforcement, why the numbers fluctuated so much. But Trigvi, before the break, Matt in Middleton calling in saying, give us some hope here in terms of, can things be made better in terms of is there a real opportunity, do you think, Trigvi? And you're a guy, again, who's worked in the, I'll say it, the upper echelon. I think Mitch McConnell and John McCain, whether you agreed with them or not, whether you do agree with them or not, they're some of the most powerful people in Washington, D.C., and you work for them, you saw on the inside. In your opinion, having worked for guys like that, do you think that there's any sort of an opportunity to get meaningful legislation passed in the next 4 years while Trump is president, and at least the first two, while Republicans control both houses of Congress, for meaningful gun reform?
No, I think it will be really hard for that to happen, because I think one of the things that we have to deal with is we have to take a step back and recognize that, you know, and I think that's to the caller's point. Give me some hope. The hope isn't, and the answers to these things, yes, can legislation and what the community is at a deeper level can do matter? Sure. But I also think that we as individuals have to all of us need to take a long, hard look in the mirror. We get to a degree the legislation and the world that we as humans choose to live in. And, you know, I was thinking, can I give him some hope? Again, not to make this about me, but what I can tell you, having, you know, from the experience of losing a child, and that's what's shocking about every one of these school instances, mm-hmm. we can put ourselves in that perspective, right? The reality is, you know, I don't know why my daughter would have been a freshman in college this year. I don't know why God didn't want me to have that child. I don't know why that happened to me. I don't know why the school shooting happened. But here's what I do know. I know that I probably wouldn't have my daughter, Kaya, who is on the show Friday, who is essential to my world. And for some reason, God didn't think that I needed Avilta, or maybe he did, because it made me a better person going through that and a far more empathetic person, even when things like this happen. But what I also know is that, you know, and I think about it all the time. I thought about it while I was at the game, that I was really lucky, because there wouldn't have been a Kaya if Vilta had lived. We were only going to have two kids in all likelihood. And so to some degree, we have to get outside of all of those talking points, and we have to take a deep look when these things happen and say, you know, what can I take away from this? Because that's the why in this. The why isn't really about legislation and all the rest of it. Those are functions of us as a society and of us as individuals saying, why is this happening and what can I take? What can I take from the experience? And until we get that set, we won't have trust, the kind of trust in each other that we need to get legislation and things passed.
Back to the text line, 855-752-4842. If you want to call in, 855-752-4842. You can also text on the Civic Media app. Andrew, listening in Maine via WAUK, asking or saying, quote, if it's too soon to talk about the Madison shooting, then let's talk about the Thurston High School shooting in May of 1998 in Oregon. They left two dead at the school, plus the gunman's parents at his home, including the son of one of my coworkers at the time, unquote.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And this is
100%.
And I, at the top of the show, I asked this really not knowing the answer. If people want, I mean, because I think this is what we not only as a radio host, but just like in our family of friends or, you know, our circle of friends. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do we talk about this or not? Like you don't want to come off as crude and cruel and crass. And you don't want people saying, good gosh, they haven't even buried their dead. Give them time. But I don't want to say the other side, that's not right. But there's another really great point of, well, if we keep waiting for everyone to grieve, then we're never actually going to get to talking about things and coming to solutions. So I think it's a great question.
It is. It's a really fair question. And it's one of those things people are tired of after every one of these. And I think parents in particular, you know, I talked to a bunch of people because my daughter was in fourth grade when Uvalde happened, a bunch of other parents. And the number of people who said that they were in tears after they dropped their kids off at school. And it shouldn't be that way. But what we have to all start asking ourselves is, all right, we don't want it to be this way. What is the art of realistic and possible? And we have to start with smaller steps.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. L.A. Tom from Los Angeles. L.A., thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, excuse my language here, but I am pissed. This is ridiculous. I put this all at the feet of the five, as Matt Flynn would say, the five tarantulas on the Supreme Court that made basically bribery in our Supreme Court through Citizens United and money in politics. Draw the correlative effect from when that happened to now. There's too much money in politics. We need to get it out. And that will be actually intertwined with every issue that goes on. 90% or 70% of the country wants a Medicare for all system. We have politicians that don't do it. Because why? Because they're being bought off legally. Legal bribery for free speech or for their speech. I'm just so sick of the fact that Americans are not getting the fact, whether you're on the left, the right, I don't care who you are, humanist. Mm-hmm. If you're a human person, you want to get money out of politics. It's screwing up everything. And go back to the days of FDR when this all kind of, this is all 100 years, same thing. Right. I mean, this is the same old crap.
I appreciate you bringing, it's fine. I appreciate you bringing this point up when you say, look, it doesn't matter what party it is, because Trigby and I were talking this morning before we went on the air. And I don't want to get too deep into this, but when I was working for Dale Schultz, when he was Senate Majority Leader, Republican Senate Majority Leader, back in 2005, going to be 20 years next year, I can't believe it. And the first bill that he put on the floor in the Senate was SB1, Campaign Finance Reform. It was co-sponsored by Mike Ellis, the former Senate Majority Leader, conservative Republican from Neenah, and John Erpenbach, liberal from Dane County. A bipartisan campaign finance bill had almost three quarters of the legislature as co-sponsors. On the floor vote, Dale brought home a majority of the Senate Republicans, and Democratic Governor of Wisconsin, Jim Doyle, twisted arms behind the scenes and killed it with a lack of Democratic votes because he didn't want Republicans to get the credit. So
That's exactly why people like Doyle should be gone. I don't care. I'll vote for a Republican that tells me they want to get money completely out of politics and lobbyists out of politics. I'll vote for a Republican that tells me they want to raise the corporate tax rate back to where FDR had it. I don't care about party.
Yeah.
I care about policy.
And no, policy I agree.
Is basically the morbidly rich. I mean, people made a bigger deal about or they made less of a deal about the guy that, you know, the billionaire. Oh, my God, the billionaire got, or the millionaire got shot a couple of weeks ago. Oh, a poor, poor guy. Now it's all, you know.
Well, they're again.
Demonize this kid. What about the kids? I'm so sick. I think we have a big lie in this country, and that is we care about our children, because I don't think we do.
Yeah. Appreciate the call, Tom. Appreciate the passion. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly from Mark in Peridesac. Mark, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yeah, so many different thoughts here. I mean, it's interesting. One of my sporting magazines, I can't remember which one it was, that they're advertising 223 ammunition, and it was described, the abbreviation for it was TUI, Tumble Upon Impact. And, of course, in this case, it was a handgun that was used in this thing. But typically, you know, why any ordinary citizen needs Tumble Upon Impact ammunition that is just beyond me, because that's military round used for killing the enemy. I mean, that something needs to be done. I mean, that were there warning signs here? I mean, that I can remember back in the day, back in the probably early 70s, when, you know, as a kid, I sent my $10 into the NRA to, you know, and the big thing for the NRA back then was to treat, you know, every gun that was loaded in safe storage.
Yeah.
And now it's, you need immediate access to your firearm just in case somebody goes breaking through your door. And it is just, you go to the sporting goods store now, rather than the old kind of targets you used to see, you see, you know, targets with human beings portrayed, and you, you know, where, you know, you're trained to shoot center mass, and that it is just, I just am at a loss as to if anything is really going to happen, because people are crying for it now, and we're crying for it once again, and that, and within a few weeks, you know, Christmas will pass us, and that it'll be forgotten, and we're never supposed to talk about this subject because, you know, first it's too soon, then it's too late. Well, we don't need to worry about that now. That's that event happened, so we don't need to think about it anymore. Well, when do we think about these things?
Yeah.
I mean, the time to think about is when the iron is hot, I think, and that and try to go on from here, because that when they sell a firearm these days, everyone goes out with a lock.
Yeah.
At least ones I bought, you know, through the stores, and that, and they should go out with those things installed, I don't know.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Trigby, look, we're both gun owners. I don't hunt as much as I used to, but again, while I was growing up, and my granddad had whatever half a dozen firearms, he didn't have a lock on them. But he struck the fear of none of us grandkids would have ever touched a firearm without permission. It's just the way we were raised. I'm all for locks as well, but part of this is parenting. But again, we've had lots of calls talking about parenting, but then again, there is real mental illness. I'm not talking about feeling down. I'm talking about schizophrenia, bipolar, other things where unless they're diagnosed and medicated, you know, I don't know, Trigby. I'm just at a loss today, my friend.
Well, I mean, I think that's where people end up when these things happen, which is why I say we all have to take a look within ourselves. And, you know, we have to decide what we're going to be as a state, as a nation, as a community, and as individuals.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're hearing from the callers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody can identify the problem, but no one wants to take the risk of saying, let's find something that works for all.
Yeah.
It's in the political interest of the time we're in just to demagogue and create outrage.
Mm. When we come back, I want to get your take on, because a couple of callers have brought up the NRA and lobbyists. And again, we both worked in the, not worked in, but been around the cesspool of lobbying. And I want to get your take on that, specifically the NRA, your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. It is Tuesday, December 17th with Trigby Olson, Todd Allball, Aaron Zummers, the Civic Media Radio Network.
Tell you one thing, we're better together.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
It's the center of the kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though. Hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massinellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you-can't-have-just-one-slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Wherever it may lead on the Civic Media Radio Network, 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock, coming up at hour 2, our grown-up gift list text to win contest. Your chance today to win a $100 bill in hour 2. We'll tell you how to do that. Download the Civic Media app right now. We'll give you the text to win word in hour 2. Also, we'll do a What's Worse, and Trigby and I will reminisce on the Packers versus the Seahawks. Oh, what a night it was out there in beautiful. It was beautiful, by the way, in Seattle. We'll get to that.
You know, I'll be able to tell. There's a fight. The guy next to me, yes, literally the right. Drunk next to me, got beat. He was a Seahawk fan, got beat up by other Seahawk fans.
We'll get into that hour too. I want to finish up trivia on this issue of the tragedy in Madison at the school here at Abundant Life Christian School. Number one, a quick answer on this. I had the dishonor and unfortunate circumstance of once meeting Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA. And I've told the story of the air. I'm not going to tell the whole thing. It was the only time in my entire political career when I met someone and I actually felt like a physical reaction and like that person is just evil and just gross. And it was a weird, odd feeling. The NRA, LaPierre is out. But the NRA continues to be a strong political force, Trigby, in guns.
Yeah, I mean, the NRA is a force. I think, you know, and the NRA has, you know, there's the laws of unintended consequences. I talk about it all the time. But the NRA, you know, LaPierre is out because of the lifestyle he was leading and how much money was going into it. And sort of to Tom's point, that created a whole environment, private airplanes and all kinds of stuff that went far beyond just protecting gun rights. Mm-hmm. I think, though, what it really comes down to, right, is there's so many people are afraid. And you even see this in, you know, all the people owning guns and, you know, the self-protection thing, and I need, you know, all of that. We have to decide as a nation and as a state and as individuals, are we going to be a country where we live in fear of each other, or and allow politicians to make us afraid of each other, or are we going to be a nation where we have faith in one another? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, for democracy to work and what made our country and our state great was a willingness to have faith in each other that we could work together to solve problems, not to be afraid of each other that we're going to try and dominate one another.
Yeah.
And until we come to that, and until we each take a hard look at all of the problems that we're facing, you don't solve them by imposing on everybody else. You solve them by having faith in each other to come to some common sense solutions.
I want to be really,
and that's true.
Go ahead.
It's just it's true with the gun issue. It's true with all these issues that we face.
I want to be really, really clear about this, and this is my opinion, not Trigvy's. I believe that the fault, if you will, I believe the real hurdle to getting meaningful gun reform is our former party, Trig, the Republican Party, overwhelmingly. But I also just find it a bit rich and a bit sad that, as you said earlier, we have to decide what kind of country we want to have. And when we have Democrats having the opportunity to elect someone like Kamala Harris as president, and there is a faction, a small but important faction, that say, oh, but Gaza, oh, but Palestine, I can't vote for the lesser of two evils. When people decide to stay home or vote third party, elections have consequences. And again, I'm not blaming Vice President Harris's loss only on that segment of Democratic voters, but it didn't help. And then you wonder, well, I mean, we have an opportunity to have someone like Harris or other Democrats who could get meaningful gun reform, but oh, no, I can't vote for the lesser of two evils. I'll give you the last 2 minutes. Minocqua Brewing Company, owned by this guy, Kirk Bangstad, who has a political PAC, big lefty, put out a t-shirt on the website. I have it right here in front of us. Said, we're gonna just leave this one right here. Viva la Ristians or whatever. Quote, in a world full of corrupt CEOs, be a Luigi, Minocqua Brewing Company. This guy puts out a t-shirt glorifying the murder of a father with a gun. And then has the audacity to put out another post today saying how terrible he feels about what happened here in Madison. The hypocrisy is ridiculous.
Yeah, and that hypocrisy becomes the grounds that the other side uses.
Exactly.
To erode and create fear of the intentions of the other side. And that's that, at the end of the day, that vilification there are parents without kids, their kids today. There's parents today in Madison, Wisconsin, whose child not only is gone, but who took the lives of others. I can't imagine the pain. There are two boys in suburban Minneapolis whose dad was gunned down on the street. Like, I don't, the you know, this again, we all have to take a look and say, are we going to be people who have fear of each other or faith in one another? And quite frankly, that is where we're not solving any of these problems. And Todd, we can take it beyond just the issue of guns. You think about all the things in the state of Wisconsin that you know, you alluded to, campaign finance reform, John Erkenbrock and Mike Ellis on the same side, Tommy Thompson and Dale Schultz and Spencer Black, conservation and the Mississippi Partnership, the Wisconsin idea. And that requires having some faith in each other, and yeah, that's being eroded.
Trivi, appreciate you so much, my friend. We're going to try to turn a page here, do a little bit of fun things on the other side. It's the Todd Bell Show. Hour two straight ahead, your chance to win $100. Download the Civic Media app right now, and we'll tell you how to do it. Back after this on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has plans for the next Trump administration. What does that mean for people in Wisconsin? We'll kick that around. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Madison, Wisconsin, classes are canceled at the private Christian school where police say a 15-year-old female student opened fire yesterday, killing two and injuring six others. Police identifying the shooter as Natalie Rupnow and say she died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Speaking to young people at an event in Maryland today, Vice President Kamala Harris weighing in about the tragedy.
As we hold our loved ones close this holiday season, we as a nation must renew our commitment to end the horror of gun violence, both mass shootings and everyday gun violence that touches so many communities in our nation.
A jury in San Francisco has found